Hello, Marion Pallister, Vice Chair of Justice and Peace Scotland here. The last couple of months have been troubling for people of faith, haven't they? But I've been hanging on to the suggestion that if you want peace, work for justice. That was the message of His Holiness Pope Paul VI in his address celebrating the Day of Peace on January 1, 1972. In that address, he said, "A peace that is not the result of true respect for man is not true peace. And what do we call this sincere feeling for man? We call it justice." We would perhaps substitute all for the word man in this more gender equal age, but the message doesn't alter. And in February of this year, 47 years after his predecessor insisted that without respect for each other there can be no true peace, Pope Francis signed a document with Ahmed El Tayeb, Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, during an interreligious meeting in Abu Dhabi that takes that idea forward. Putting pen to the document on human fraternity for world peace and living together, Pope Francis invited all persons who have faith in God and faith in human fraternity to unite and work together so that it may serve as a guide for future generations to advance a culture of mutual respect in the awareness of the great divine grace that makes all human beings brothers and sisters. All human beings, brothers and sisters. Yes, there have been times in the past two decades when it's perhaps been difficult for some to accept that all human beings are brothers and sisters. When fanatics commit atrocities, claiming to act for a particular faith, it is understandable that beliefs can be shaken. But the response of the New Zealand Prime Minister when Muslims were attacked in Christchurch, and the overwhelming kindness of the Muslim community in Sri Lanka after the attacks on Christians there, both affirmed the possibility of uniting and working together as brothers and sisters. It isn't helpful, however, when headlines in our own media, even our own Catholic media, fail to recognise the reaching out of people of different faiths to bring about peace and justice. Reading in a Scottish Catholic publication that Catholics are angry after the Sri Lanka attacks wasn't really the whole truth of the situation, as I'm sure many of you will testify to. Just as vigils had been held in Edinburgh and Glasgow in sympathy for the victims of the Christchurch mosque attack, in one of many instances of solidarity with Christians, a letter was delivered to St Andrew's Cathedral in Glasgow just before the start of Mass for the victims of the Sri Lanka attacks, in which more than 250 people died. The letter, along with flowers, came from Ahmad Yahya Muslim Association Glasgow. The letter said, "Sadly, the perpetrators ascribe their senseless actions to Islam, but the true teachings of Islam never condone such action against innocent humans." Of course, the response made by Archbishop Tatalia was reported, and thanks to the Glasgow publication Flourish for highlighting the exchange. The Archbishop said, "I was very touched by the gesture of solidarity from the Muslim group and took heart from it. I am grateful to those in the Muslim community who made this lovely gesture." What we learned at a meeting of the Scottish Bishops Conference Interreligious Dialogue Committee, however, was that the response of the people to that letter and those flowers, which were placed in the cathedral sanctuary, the many who had gone to the Mass to pay respect to the victims, had applauded their Muslim brothers and sisters who came to the cathedral to share the grief. They clapped, literally clapped, and were visibly moved by the gesture. Ahmed Owusu Kunadu, External Affairs Secretary for the Muslim group, was one of the delegates at that Mass. He called on Christians and Muslims at a local level to build bridges with one another through dialogue and interaction. As Justice and Peace Scotland's representative on the Interreligious Dialogue Committee, I totally agree. When we talk, we move forward. We begin to understand each other, to know that we have so much more in common than we differ over. Throughout the year, the Interreligious Dialogue Committee does just that. We interact with people of different faiths. We socialise. We learn about each other's beliefs. We work together on a range of issues that bring about justice and peace. We collaborate ecumenically to take forward interfaith partnerships. Archbishop Emeritus Mario Conti, our Bishop President, has recently written to the leaders of different faith communities relevant to their celebrations, such as the commencement of Ramadan, just as we as Catholics receive their good wishes for Christmas and Easter. We've had discussions about shared educational values with the Muslim community, and it's so encouraging that in Glasgow we have the world's first joint campus that brings together schools serving both the Catholic and Jewish faiths. Opened in Newton Mearns in 2017, the Catholic St Clair's Primary and the Jewish Calderwood Lodge schools share their premises with a non-denominational nursery class. What's even more encouraging as we work towards a peaceful world is that a significant proportion of pupils at the Jewish primary school are Muslim. Priests and imams are working together throughout Scotland, from Glasgow to Stornoway and back again. All the faith communities are cooperating on issues as diverse as ethical finance and human trafficking. Ahmed Awuzu Konadu is right in saying that faith leaders can inspire a change in attitude. He praised Pope Francis's visit to the United Arab Emirates as a good initiative and said that when leaderships come together, the congregations will listen and follow suit. But I'd say it can't only be top down. When we get to know our neighbours, whatever their faith, we have as good a chance of helping peace to break out as do the declarations that our leaders sign. It's perhaps not the best analogy, I'm sorry, but in a way, it's the same as we need to folk to stop buying plastic straws and taking 20-minute showers, as well as huge action at international level if we want to reverse climate change. And so we need to offer our Hindu, Muslim and Jewish neighbours a cuppa and a jammy scone while our leaders reach out to each other at an interfaith, international level. The Sri Lankan liberation theologist Father Tisa Balasuriya advised Pope Benedict to be ready to accept that God can speak to humanity through other media than the Christian Church. In April of this year, Pope Francis said that no one should be afraid that God has allowed there to be different religions in the world. Neither was saying that anything that was not agreed by the Second Vatican Council. Pope Paul VI's 1965 document Nostra Aetate, In Our Time, says, "In our time, when day by day mankind is being drawn closer together, and the ties between different peoples are becoming stronger, the Church examines more closely her relationship to non-Christian religions. In her task of promoting unity and love among men, indeed among nations, she considers above all in this declaration what men have in common and what draws them to fellowship. One of the community of all peoples, one their origin, for God made the whole human race to live over the face of the earth. His saving design extends to all men." There will always be people claiming to represent a particular faith who will test that fellowship and attempt to push us apart rather than bring us together. They will have their own sad, deluded reasons. But if they survive their terrible attacks on others, it must surely puzzle them that there is such forgiveness in the world, such compassion, such respect, that slowly, slowly we do come together. My grandfather used to tell us stories about the First World War, and of course one was told time and again was the one about the Hogmanay. Okay, yes, there are those who say it was Christmas, but he said it was Hogmanay. When the soldiers of both sides came out of the trenches, greeted each other, in Grandad's memory it was Happy New Year rather than Happy Christmas, and played football until the powers that be sent them back to the horrific task in hand. And of course, it was less easy to fire at those opposing troops after that incident, because the enemy now had a face, a handshake, a smile, an ability to kick a ball into the back of a net. As long as you don't have that personalization, you can demonize and fight when you know that the guy in the opposite trench is just like you. He's a friend, a brother, not the object of your leader's propaganda. Isn't it a bit like that with people of other faiths? As long as we don't greet each other, share the cup of tea, get to know each other's children, realise that you can't shove a piece of paper between their concerns and ours about family, the roof over our heads, the food in our bellies and the clothes on our backs, well, of course we can continue to be prejudiced. When we come out of our metaphorical trenches and see that the principles of the Beatitudes are to be found in every faith and are put into action by people like you and me, that's when we know that we're on track for a better world. I don't know if you saw the programme about Glasgow girls of Pakistan Muslim origin getting married. It was on BBC One a couple of weeks ago and was followed, I didn't see the follow-up one, that was about the weddings of Scottish girls of Indian Hindu origin. Would have been nice to see that. Of course, there were differences in the ceremony in the programme that I saw and in the pre-match events as well. And dare I say it, I'm going to get trouble for this, the outfits were more stunningly beautiful than any I've seen at Scottish weddings. But listening to the bride, the groom, the family members, all with A-star Glasgow accents, and their guests of Muslim and Christian faiths, underscored all that brings us together. How much more alike could we be? Pope Francis suggested when he signed that document in the United Arab Emirates that we provide a guide for future generations to advance a culture of mutual respect in the awareness of the great divine grace that makes all human beings brothers and sisters. Watching that programme made me think that it is the younger generations that are already providing that guide. We're looking to Greta Thunberg as our guru on climate change. Maybe we should look to youngsters growing up together today for a steer on getting our act together as true brothers and sisters in faith. Pope Francis has repeated the prayer of his namesake, St. Francis, at a number of meetings with leaders of other faiths. Perhaps you'll join with me in that prayer now, because it seems to me to say so much about coming together and about working for justice and peace. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen, and thank you.